welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Nathan Totten, and I'm joined today by
Nick Harris.
Nick Harris and Elio DiMaggio, who's you're a PM on the Windows Azure Service Bus Hub project, right?
Notification hub.
Notification hub. I missed the word.
Yes. Did it right.
Missed it by that much.
Come on.
we frequently mock the names of products on this show.
But
sure
they get. So long. Every time we make a new feature, we just take an existing name and add several more words to the end.
Announced very recently, so you're forgiven for getting this time.
Yeah, I think it was on our last show.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago or so.
Yeah, two weeks ago.
We talked about the blog post. So some pretty exciting stuff. So the biggest news for this week is this is our 100th show.
Yes.
We were supposed to do it last week, and we had Steve Ballmer lined up to be a guest on the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. Not really. That'd be it, to congratulate us on our epic accomplishment. No, but I was stuck in the Midwest in some crazy blizzard and storm, so I actually didn't make it back in time.
But
so
you walked out with no shoes. I was shocked when I heard that. Yeah, of the blizzard.
In the blizzard. With
yeah,
no
you
shoes.
Stuck there for 2 days, and you just thought, I got to get back to record Cloud Cover, so I'm going to start walking.
Both ways. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, it was like they had like 8 flights canceled, so I could have driven back faster than like it actually ended up taking me to fly. So we missed that episode, which we had a pretty good one planned. We had all our past hosts, Wade.
Steve, Ryan.
And Ryan all lined
We've got
up.
To invite David.
And David, yeah. We forgot to invite him, but yeah. we had 3 of them lined up and we just canceled it. So we don't have a great, we don't have a super fancy 100th episode planned. But
did you get the cake?
We do, no, I did not get a cake either.
Yeah.
I ate it all last week. No. No, but what were you going to do? Cake!
Bob, a cake.
So Bob's going to put a cake right there for several minutes.
Yes.
And all you should do some eating. Like.
Party hats.
Perfect.
All right.
I am. It's a nice party hat. Yay! So anyway, so that's our 100th episode.
Right.
But I think this is better because we're actually going to talk about some really cool technology, which is actually what people
come
want to see, rather than us talking about things like your star for 10 or so minutes as we did last time. Our viewers, our ratings plummeted.
That's what they're doing right now. Let's cut to the news.
Yes, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's where. Let's chat about your weekend now. Okay, so anyway.
Nate normally babbles on for the first 5
true,
minutes of the
true.
Show.
That's and then it's we get a, into it's the a, stuff. As Steve said, it's a rich tradition of the show. So anyway, so we do have some real news though. The first thing I wanted to cover is on Wednesday at 9:30 or so a.m. We launched the new hub for Windows Azure video content on Channel 9. So channel 9.msdn.com, WAC, Windows Azure. So all of the, of course, Cloud Cover will be featured there, Webcams TV, Clemens subscribe show.
Yep, which you can see all sorts of things about Service Bus, including Notifications Hub.
Yep, which I think you were on his show a couple
weeks
ago.
I was on his show a couple weeks ago.
Very cool, you're making the rounds. Next you'll be on the Tonight Show.
Yeah. Of course.
But and then we also have a bunch of new series, Windows Azure websites, a bunch of your, you guys have like 12 or 15 videos on, 600 videos on mobile services.
That's correct.
Virtual machines and networking, Michael put together. And Michael has, that's actually some other
news.
Michael has moved on. He's left our team. He's now a senior PM on somewhere in Windows Azure. I forget what the actual area is.
Cloud Services, Client SDK.
That's right,
and tools.
Yep. So websites, I said, tutorials on videos on cloud services, SQL, and Service Bus, which Abhishek on your team put together. We'll need to get you to actually record some videos for this as well.
Of course.
So that's our first bit of news. So check that out. A lot of new content, and we'll be adding more content soon. Like we don't have stuff right now on what don't we have? We have more coming. I can't remember what they are, though.
Let's scroll up a bit here.
It's all right. We have a media services, mobile services, but
SQL Azure or SQL
Database. We have SQL.
There?
Yeah, okay, there's only one video, but Scott's recording more of those. Yeah. So yeah, okay. a bunch more coming though. I think this is only like half of them. We've got several more in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
So we have videos on Node.js coming, PHP coming, ASP.NET. So we have some application specific ones. Hashi's putting together a series on cloud patterns.
Right.
So more coming as we move forward. So anyway, that's enough for that. Real quick, this was last week or so, SQL reporting services pricing. So SQL reporting services used to cost like $1 million a day to use.
$1 million.
And now we've reduced the pricing to a reasonable amount.
Up to an
82% price reduction.
Which is huge.
Yeah, that was a lot of, we heard a lot of feedback on that. SQL reporting services was just the pricing structure made it, for some scenarios, quite expensive to use. But now we've lowered the price quite a bit, so it's actually much more affordable. So that's always good. To reduce the price. Next thing is this thing called Imagine Cup Boost, which I actually have no idea what this is, but you wrote the post, so I'll let you cover it.
All right. So, Imagine Cup. I am the Windows Azure Challenge Captain. Very proud of that.
Do you get a hat or a special shirt?
I don't know. Maybe.
Bob,
if I'm lucky.
Bob, a crown.
So anyhow, this is just something, a side project for me. But one which I invest a lot of time in. And essentially what we're running there in Imagine Cup this year is there's a whole bunch of challenges for students worldwide to come and participate within. There's a gaming challenge, a Windows Store App challenge, an innovation challenge, a few more, and the Windows Azure challenge, of course. So the Windows Azure challenge is about, you know, building the next big thing. And basically you can use, you know, any service offering from Windows Azure to build out, you know, whatever you envisage should be built. So you can use websites, you can use mobile services, you could use Notifications Hub if you want to deliver some notifications. But that's the Windows Azure Challenge. There's like a 10 grand first prize for that. But for all those others who are participating in other challenges, we've released what's called the Windows Azure Boost. And basically what this means is if you're one of the top finalist teams that make it to the finals in Russia this year, then you're eligible to be judged for a Windows Azure Boost if you've used Windows Azure. So there's three criteria for that. One is there's $1,000 if your solution uses mobile services. There's another $1,000 if you're using, say, websites, cloud services, including service bus or VMs or whatnot. So that's the second 2K portion of the boost. And the third is, if you're doing both of them and you get allocated the prize for that, then you also get the third boost, which is like, we call it a double shot. We just give you another $1,000. So it's like, here you go, another $1,000. And it'll be, of course, on a huge check, which they do every year,
which is
awesome.
Very nice.
But yeah, if you want more details, the official rules for that, obviously, the legal rules are there. You can click through and read them.
Very exciting. I'm sure a lot of people will do that. We'll read thoroughly through all the legalese.
Well, you want to make sure that you're meeting the criteria to win the extra cash. So, very cool. And that's it.
Awesome. Well, big checks are always fun.
Mm-hmm. I've never got one before.
I haven't either. Yeah. If I ever like do a startup and somebody comes along and buys it, I'm going to demand the check in like large size.
Fold it up and put it in your wallet.
Like, no, I would like it in a large. Actually, I should just, if I have a garage sale or something, maybe like 50 cents. Anyway. So just really quick, Windows Azure Store. We've added a few new companies to it, a few new offerings to the Windows Azure Store. Two companies were actually from the Windows Azure Startup Accelerator. So a few new ones in there.
Metrics Hub.
Metrics Hub. But the big thing is, so that's cool. We're continuing to add offerings for that. But the big thing is, though, we've expanded to 11 markets. So because we are doing, I think we've talked about this before, but because we are doing billing on behalf, payments, there's a lot of legal and tax issues for actually doing the store. So when we launched the store, it was only in the U.S., but we've expanded it now to a total of 11 markets. So like the U.K., Canada, several countries in Europe, as the U.K. is, and South Korea, Japan, and yeah, some, again, European countries. Mm-hmm. So, again, but because we're doing, it's the tax things, all these legal, stuff I don't know anything about, we have to kind of go through.
We really should
get
someone else to do the paperwork
Let's get an accountant on the show to talk about all the tax issues. but yeah, so we have 11 markets. Obviously, we're going to be adding that as we go. It just takes a little time to work all that out. So, pretty cool, but if you're in one of those European countries or a few of the countries in Asia, you now have access to the Windows Azure Store. So with that's the news. And now I think we'll let Ilio take it away with talking about the Notifications Hub.
And now, our feature presentation.
So Service Bus Notifications Hub are a new entity that you can provision in your Service Bus namespace, and they're used to broadcast push notifications to mobile devices. Yeah. So Windows Store apps, iOS for now, and we're going to soon be adding Android and Windows Phone.
Awesome.
Do you want to go and dive in the portal?
Sounds good. Just a question there. This in the portal, what's that first one there, my NH? Does that mean my Nick Harris?
No, it's probably my notification hub.
Okay.
You're probably... shared the initials with our feature.
He's been sending you private. You have your own little app between the two of you to share. How cute.
Okay.
That's what you were hoping for.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you, I guess, tell us a little bit about the capabilities of Notifications Hub. Like, it's notifications, obviously, to phones, but we also have, I mean, mobile services does notifications. We also just have the Windows notification service, Apple's notification service. What is different? What are the features that Notifications Hub for us?
The great thing that Notifications Hub does is basically to provide you a way to do broadcast at very, very high scale. Mm-hmm. To provide a pub-sub mechanism. So the main effect is that you do not have to handle all those channel URIs and device tokens in your own database anymore.
Right.
You do not have to have that table. You do not have to keep them updated, and that's all stuff that we do. Or for people familiar with Apple, you do not have to deal with the feedback channel and all those fun things.
I guess you wouldn't have to deal with the scale out portion of that to be able to send notifications to, say, a million channels with the same content, for instance.
That's another thing. When you have, like, millions of devices, not only you have millions of handles in your database, but you also have that you have to keep updated. But you also have to, when you're sending a notification to all those million people, you cannot just code a for loop, because it's going to take many, many hours. Now, in some cases, that might be okay. But in other cases, that's not. Mm-hmm. For instance, when you want to send a notification, it has to arrive in less than...
maybe a sporting update, for instance.
There was some sort of sport event on Sunday. So the example would be, if you had an app that you were sending real-time score updates to, and you had, say, 50 million people watching this event, and they wanted to get apps, it wouldn't be practical to send, or it'd be
a
bad experience
if
it took you 3 hours to send the current score. It would be useless. So the example of this is, we handle all of that for you. Your application sends one notification. Everyone who's subscribed to it would get those almost instantaneously.
Exactly. And with one app with a for loop, you can usually do 500 per second. If you have 1 million, it's many, many seconds that have to pass before you can actually reach 1 million devices. We take all that stuff away from your plate.
Right. And you deliver extremely fast.
We deliver as fast as the platform notification system allows us. So WNS and APNS, they all throttle your specific app, so we cannot go faster than that, but we go as fast as we can.
Yep.
Awesome. Which is another actual feature. You guys handle, like, rather than my app having to understand what the various throttling limits are of all the services, you handle that for, you just send one request, and you actually understand the logic and the issues with that, so you take care of all that throttling and scale for
all
us.
All the things like exponential backoff and all those things, you guys do not have to worry about that anymore. You just send one message, and we do the whole broadcast.
Sounds very cool. Before we get into a demo, though, do you think you could give us a bit of an architectural overview that sort of puts the demo in context for
of
people?
Of course. Of course. I can use the whiteboard?
No, you're not allowed to use the whiteboard.
No touching.
No touching. That's mine. you're welcome. Let's cut across to the whiteboard.
To the whiteboard!
Let's go.
So basically, let's draw here your phone. What happens is that push notifications work in this way. All the platform notification systems work in basically a very similar way. So your device has to contact your platform notification service, which here we usually do a little broadcasting antenna, and this can be WNS, this can be APNS, this can be Windows Phone Notification Service or Google Cloud Messaging, or they all work in the same way. The phone contacts the platform notification service to retrieve a token. So this basically gets a token. This token can be a channel URI for people familiar with WNS. It can be a device token for APNS, registration ID for Google, and all these sort of things. Then this token has to be stored in your app cloud service. So which usually you have to have your own backend. I have a terrible handwriting. I will try to be good.
Didn't anyone screen this guy before bringing him on the show?
Yes. So and you will basically store this token inside your a big table in your backend. Yep. Usually you have a big table that associates users with tokens, or maybe if you have interest groups, people interest in the Ravens or the 49ers, and then you have this big table that you have to keep update. When you want to send a message, you fish for your token and you send to WNS your message, which then sends it back to the device. Now, this is a lot of code you have to write.
And there's also, just looking at WNS and APNS, there's different auth scenarios that they implement. APNS using a certificate, WNS using auth. So they can be quite complicated in themselves to do, let alone sending the message.
True. So basically in here, this arrow, it's actually many arrows. It's one for APNS with all its idiosyncrasies, one for WNS with all its other characteristics. So this thing can become quickly very, very complicated. Lots of code, even using open source libraries, you end up having like many open source libraries and juggling between them. So what we want to do, we do not want you guys to do this anymore. Right. So the idea is that we have you provision a notification hub inside of Service Bus. So you do not have your backend anymore, or you can of course, but you do not have to. And you provision inside of Service Bus a notification hub. It's not Nick Harris. Okay. It's notification hub.
I'm pretty sure the guys who named it Notification Hub were thinking of me, though. Given my background and push, right?
Exactly.
Very
so the notification. You're Nick Harris here.
Okay.
What happens is that the device gets the token from the PNS.
Yep. And typically that's just an API call, like in Windows 8, it's like push notification channel manager, request channel async.
Yes.
So that's very straightforward to get that channel URI or token.
This is very straightforward. Yep. Our SDK does the best to basically shield you from that too.
Right.
So you do not have to know the details. But basically what happens conceptually is that the device still gets the token and puts it inside the notification hub.
Right.
So you do not have to do this step anymore. And then you do not have to store your channels in your backend anymore.
Right.
And when you want to send a message, your backend sends a message to the notification hub, which then handles all the various arrows to the PNSs. And this arrows basically means that we can broadcast across platforms. So you just say send a message and we will send a message to all the Windows devices through WNS, so for all the Apple devices through a PNS, and when we'll add support for the other platforms, we'll use those too. So your send message here is completely platform agnostic, and you don't have to know anything about those
different formats.
Different formats and protocols and all those things.
Awesome. So you've sort of abstracted a syntax on top where you compose one payload and you push that to the notifications hub, and then that can deal with all the other client platforms.
Yes.
But on top of that, what about the scale out for delivery to users? Because that's a challenge that people have when they're building their own backend to do this, is to say, how do I get through that 10,000, 100,000, million channels in a quick amount of time? How's that work from this?
So what we do to handle users and interest groups, you do not you do not have to do just like a big broadcast. What you can do with notification hubs mm-hmm. is basically to define users and interest groups using tags. Right. So basically, when this particular device is registering its token yep. or channel URI, it can basically tag that registration with mm-hmm. a set of tags. And right. those tags are just any string. You do not have to pre-provision them or pre-create them. But basically, in here, if I'm interested in 49ers, I can just have something, a tag that is 49ers. Right. I could also add a tag that says that is my device. Maybe, so we will just say Elio. And if I have a Surface, an iPhone, and an Android tablet, mm-hmm. what happens is that the backend can just send a message to the tag Elio and will mm-hmm. reach all my devices.
Yeah, very cool.
Irrespective of the platform. Yeah.
Or a larger audience.
Or a larger audience, like yeah. the 49ers yeah. or everybody in mm-hmm. your app.
Okay.
And this is what we call the tagging feature.
Yeah.
So basically with these tags, you can tag your registration, so your devices and your tokens, with things that are actually mm-hmm. relevant in your app. You right. do not have to maintain a big registry with all the channel URIs, how they are associated with users and all these things.
So the back end now, if I wanted to send the LEO or 49ers, I just do one post to Notifications Hub.
Yes.
Directed at that tag, and Notification yes. Hub deals with
the fan out across all platforms. Mm. Now, how does that work? We did not create a fat framework where basically where you get the minimum common denominator of all the features. Mm-hmm. What you do is that when you're registering, you can specify a template. Yeah. Everybody is people familiar with WNS are familiar with all the various kind of templates that yeah. usually has to be specified from the backend. That is usually a problem because there's a bunch of XML. It's presentation specific. Mm-hmm. While there are a lot of convenience methods to do it from the client because that's part of the Windows Store apps. So what you do in here, you can specify a template, which in here you will have an XML document, mm-hmm. which is of course we have helper methods. It's a lot similar, but at a yeah. high level. The XML that you would send from the backend, you would specify from the client saying that is the kind of format that you expect to receive. Mm-hmm. So you will have something that is like Toast, and then you will have all the rest of the XML, mm-hmm. Toast type 1, and yep. and all the various Windows XML. And inside mm-hmm. here, you will have something that is text, and ID 1, mm-hmm. 1 I think is the first one. And then in here, instead of the actual text, you can put an expression. Let me put that in red. So instead of the actual message, yep. you will say in here, I want dollar message.
Yep. Hmm.
What this says is that when I send here a message, when I send my notification from the backend to the notification hub, right. I just set a message property with yep. my hello world.
And then it's surfaced in the template you've specified
exactly.
for your application.
So this means yeah. that you can actually specify a different template with, say, a total, you know, one template for Windows, say, has four variables, yep. One for iOS has, say, five variables, mm-hmm. two of them are overlapping, and your message you send to notifications contains all of the variables, which means that each device
yes.
gets the device specific, it looks nice, it looks appropriate to the device.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Exactly. Not only that, since this is done from a device specific perspective, you can have the user set some preferences and, and personalization. Maybe some people want a weather update with the Celsius temperature, mm-hmm. and other people want it in Fahrenheit mm-hmm. degrees. So you have these guys will just register their own template, mm-hmm. and then you send a message with both temperature, and everybody gets his own.
Mm. That's really cool because yeah. I mean when you do think of a system like this, a lot of times you'll end up with the lowest common denominator, like where you're just sending some text
yes.
to
yeah.
a user, but you don't get an image or you don't get a rich tile or anything like that. So this really is cool because it
yeah.
it you as a developer, you don't have to worry about the UI layer that much, but you also know that the end user is getting the best possible experience on their device.
So, for instance, for images, that is a great example. Mm-hmm. ManyToast in Windows 8, you can actually add an image, while in iOS you still do not support images. Yep. You can have like really the best experience for all your platform, sending still a completely platform agnostic message. Mm-hmm. This is great, like especially we have many customers that where the development is split across teams. You usually have people that are back-end experts and people that are
UI or client
app expert. So you just basically agree on what are the properties set.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no, we usually hear people from the client app team that they have to go and beg the back-end people to support this extra template.
All right.
This is not there anymore.
That's very cool.
So this is really great. So basically two things feature-wise, tags and templates. We also support sending the native format from the backend if you really want to do it. But of course you do not get, you still get the broadcast, you still get the fan out, but of course you cannot do multi-platform broadcast, so you still have to provide all the native template from the backend. Mm-hmm. But there are scenarios for those features too.
Cool. Okay. Very cool. Do you support raw notifications?
We do not support it right now. It will be out very soon.
Okay.
In our like next release in a few weeks.
Okay. Cool. But from Windows perspective, Toast Tile Badge supported?
Yes.
Awesome.
All the Toast Tiles and Badges, everything, it's supported from iOS. We support all the possible payloads if you want to do extra payloads, if you want to do from the templates and also natives. If you want to use Passport in Apple, we support that. Everything is supported.
Yeah.
And WNS Raw, very soon.
Very cool. I think we should see a demo.
We should see a demo. This is exactly what it will do, the toast with the message property.
Cool.
Cool. Let's do it.
So let's look here at the portal. You see that inside of your service bus namespace, you can now have a new notification hub. To create one, you just click New under App Services. You have a Service Bus Notification Hub. Notice the preview. That's because we're out in preview. And
what kind of SLAs are in place during preview? Are there SLAs or what's the?
The thing is that the feature runs our normal Service Bus deployment, so it's the same availability as everything else.
Right.
But we do not have those in the contract, so the preview feature is not, that doesn't have all the legal things. But you can expect that the feature will be running as much as a production service because it actually runs in there.
Cool.
So you quick create a notification hub. You can
cloud cover.
Create a new notification hub. You select the region, your namespace, your subscription, and when this is created, you will have a new, brand new notification hub.
That was extremely fast.
It is faster than many things because the notification hub doesn't have lots of things that it has to pre-provision.
Mm-hmm.
The full scale-out architecture is already there.
Nice.
So in here, when you enter, you have your dashboard. You will see lots of metrics here. You have errors, you have incoming messages, you have successful messages, you have registration operations. Here are all the things that you use for your debugging.
Right.
Also, you have other things. There is a status, APNS or WNS status. What happens is that if your credentials are rejected, the notification hub can get blocked for that specific thing, for that specific PNS. That is important to know that you can come here and here we'll see blocked on a certain date. You just have to update the credentials so that we try again.
And what's the TTL there?
The
registration's time to leave?
The registrations expire.
Right.
So the right now is 90 days.
Right. So you're not talking about like channels, say from WNS have their own expiry, APNS their own, but the registration of your client app to the notification hub has an expiry of 90 days.
They expire too. We will see that it's actually very easy to keep them refreshed. We provide a method in the SDK that's called refresh registration. You just make sure to call that every time you open your app.
Okay.
And we make sure that you have the current channel in your eye and all the registrations are kept fresh. But this is also like for your convenience because when somebody uninstalls the app, you do not have to do any cleanup.
Right.
So the things are going to be deleted on their own. No need to worry about that.
Yeah. They'd only uninstall Nate's app, not my app.
Also, there's a configure tab. In here, right. You're going to put the credentials to push the notifications. So right. The WNS credentials and the APNS credentials. When we will add new platforms, they will come up in this tab.
Very now, cool.
Let's go on and do an actual demo. We have here my Windows Developer Dashboard, mm-hmm. and you can see here that I have one app called Elio App. In here, if you click in Advanced Feature and Configure Push, you end up with this. And in here, there are basically my credentials right. to push notifications to my app. You mm-hmm. take these things and you put them in your notification hub. I have mm-hmm. another one that is already configured, which also has like a dashboard with some actual metrics in there, so you can see how it looks like. You see here you have successful notifications 9. Mm-hmm. You can see here WNS authentication errors. This happens if I configure the wrong...
Wrong client secret or server secrets.
Yeah, so did these things inside the configure.
Yep.
There could be like many errors for many reasons.
Mm-hmm. So, Elio, you're going to build an app for us. What's the first thing that we need installed on our dev machine?
Yes, so you need to download the WinRT Client SDK mm-hmm. for your Windows Store app.
Yep.
And you can find the link of that in the MSDN tutorial article.
Yep.
It will soon ship in the Mobile Services SDK, so mm-hmm. it will be part of the Mobile Services SDK when you download it. You will have two DLLs there.
Okay.
So for the time being, it sits here. It's this link.
Right.
You can download it. I already have.
And is there a? I assume there'll be a NuGet package also for it.
There is a NuGet package for the SDK for the .NET SDK, so for the server version for your backend.
Yeah.
Right.
But for the Windows Store one, we still do not have a NuGet package.
Okay. Can we commit to a time frame on that? We like to do that to PMs on the show.
So we're also announcing today that. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
We like to announce features so that then when the show airs in a few days, you just have to get it done by then.
I know. But we will be inside the Mobile Services SDK very soon.
Cool. Great.
And let's go and create a new app. We go inside Visual Studio. We're creating a new project. We created just a Windows Store app and a blank app.
Mm-hmm.
We will just need it to register for push notifications. Now, in here, we add a new reference to the Windows Azure.messaging DLL. Actually, let me open this up. This is the actual DLL.
All right.
Wherever you downloaded it, we add it in here. And then what we do, this is just your app.xaml.cs.
Yep.
Now we just add notification ob class instance inside your app class.
All right.
And then inside your onLaunched method, towards the end, before activating the window, what we're going to do, we're going to instantiate it to a new notification hub class. And in here, we have to put the notification hub name mm-hmm. that was myNH.
Yeah.
And then we have to create a connection string for it. So this is a connection string that I'm going to create. A connection string is basically created using a connection string class, and you're going to use a key with a listen access. That's because you do not want to let your clients be able to broadcast messages to millions of devices.
Very cool. So you've thought about the security aspects of this as well.
So the endpoint here is going to be the endpoint of your notification hub.
Mm-hmm.
So service bus, and then your namespace, and then .servicebus.windows.net.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put your listen key.
Yep.
How do you get that? From the portal. From the portal, you go inside your notification hub, and you see here view SAS key.
Yep.
SAS stands for shared access signature.
Mm-hmm.
And basically in here, you're going to copy this value.
So keep going.
Yes.
But for people that are familiar with Blob SAS, for instance, they have an expiry. How about this SAS?
This has basically generates a token, but in this way you're basically coding the key inside your Windows Store app.
So it's not going to ever expire.
This one is never going to expire.
Awesome.
So you do not have to worry about that. But it's also not very secure. Right. So we should actually talk a little bit about that later.
Okay.
Because similar to the key in mobile services.
Right? Exactly. It's like an app key.
It's sort of a very limited. I mean, it's not really security. It's more of a security through obscurity sort of thing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Right. The thing is that this key only allows you to register. It doesn't allow you to send or to retrieve other people registrations. Right. So it's really contained to what it can do.
I guess while we're on the topic of it, rather than coming back, what would be your recommended approach for protecting this key?
I would say the recommended approach for apps that are interested about securing push notifications, which I have to say they're actually not secure in general. So WNS and APNS suggest not to send any sensitive data. They're not provide any security guarantees. But for people that really have to do it, there is a way to basically have your backend register to Service Bus. So in that way, you code none of this code.
Yep.
You basically have your backend service get a call from your client app with the token, and then your backend contacts the notification hub to perform the registration.
So just a simple proxy pattern then, if you want that key on the server side.
Exactly.
And the users would auth using, say, Microsoft account here.
Normally, basically the general recommendation is, if I have, say, an app that deals with like my like medical records or something, I would send a notification that says, you have a new message, or you have an update or something, but it doesn't actually contain the update.
Exactly.
Then you open the app, and in a secure fashion, actually get the content, the real secure content.
Never send sensitive information over push notifications. None of the platform notification system give any security guarantees.
Okay.
So let's finish here the registration process. I will just create here a new async method that will basically do all the registration. We create here a new method. Let's make it asynchronous. And in here, I will just do, I will refresh my registrations. What this thing does, it makes sure that it gets the token, it refreshes all the registrations that are already there with the current token, and makes sure that they don't expire.
So just for those, so token is a channel.
Yes,
for those channel that are familiar with the channel.
Yes, sorry. So channel your eyes, it takes all the channel your eyes for all your tiles. You do not have to worry about that.
Okay.
So it will update everything for all your tiles.
Very cool.
And what it does here, then we want to make sure that if this is the first time that you're registering, what we're going to do is that if there's no registration, we're going to put a new one.
Right.
So if registration exists for application, here we use the same pattern of WNS. For application is the main channel URI.
Yep.
For secondary tile is the one for secondary tiles.
Right.
And here, if there exists no registration, that's called toast template.
Right.
What we're going to do, we're going to create a new one. So in here, we're going to just create a registration, create a template registration for application. Mm-hmm. What this thing takes, it takes my XML template.
Yep.
Now, we do have convenience methods. You can use the Windows Store convenience methods.
Mm-hmm.
We also provide ours.
Yep.
So with the notification XML builder, you see here all the create for all the various templates.
Cool.
So create toast text one.
Yep.
And here, we're going to put the actual dollar message that we saw earlier.
Yep.
And then we have to put the name of the registration. We already agreed that this was called Toast Template. The thing is that every app can create multiple registrations.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a Toast registration that has a Toast template, a registration that has a tile template. You can decide to get for the same message one badge and a Toast.
Okay. So this method, if I select toast text 02 or toast image text, it would just have well-defined parameters for each of those replacements.
Yes.
Okay.
So basically, in here, what we do, we create the template registration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens here, In this app, we still have to configure it to receive toast notifications. Right. So you have to open the app manifest. Remember here to enable toast notifications by putting toast capable yes.
Yep.
And we also have to make sure that this app is actually Elio app that we configured on the Windows mm-hmm. Store dashboard. To do that, the best way is actually to right-click on your solution, click Store, and do Associate App with Store. Yep. And here you have to sign in.
So this gets the client credential set that matches the credentials which you pasted in for the WNS package yes. SID and client secret on the server side. Without those matching, you're going to get authorization exceptions.
Yes, and Toast won't show
yep.
up. Let's hope that I remember the path. Okay, I did. In here, you can get all the you can select the app that you configured in your mm-hmm. Windows Store. We said Elio app. So right now, this has everything configured. You can see here in packaging, all the things have been updated.
Yep.
Now, when we run this thing,
all right.
Let's start the app to make sure that it actually registers.
Okay.
So we refresh registration. We check if one exists. None exist, mm-hmm. so we're going to create a new one. And now this app is running. Of course, it doesn't do anything, but it did register.
App there.
It's a beautiful
yeah.
app.
It's about as good as my apps are.
That's why people uninstall them.
But you don't have to worry if they uninstall them. Your notification hubs.
I feel bad, though.
It's like those flashlight apps, except yeah. you didn't change the background
yeah.
color.
Like, oh, it's a flashlight. All you did was set the background to white. Congratulations. $9.99.
So now we have a registered app. We want to send a message and a notification hub.
So far I see 5 lines of code.
Yes.
And that's, you know, really
that's pretty much what you need.
Extremely powerful for what you're getting out of this in terms of the scalability.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you want to add tags, mm-hmm. you just create a registration here. In here you will see an overload with tags. So if you want to actually say that this app is actually my app,
right.
you can tag Elio,
if you
want
to say
49ers, or
okay.
anything like that, you just add it here. Right now, what this does is just register for broadcast messages.
Right. Okay, so a message with, it's basically everyone that's
yes.
subscribed to this notification hub will get it,
yes.
irrespective of whatever it is.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's now create just one simple app that sends a message. We need... we do not need a backend. We'll actually just create a Windows console app
okay.
to do that. And we create a Windows console app. From here, we have to actually add the .NET DLL for Service Bus.
NuGet.
Inside
like
NuGet,
it.
We do yeah. have it. It's called Service Bus Preview Features. And you can find it here. You install it, and what this does is that it adds...
You guys didn't set an icon.
We did not set an icon yet.
Oh, man.
It's the preview features.
It's the preview features.
And all the other ones use the old Windows Azure logo.
Mm-hmm.
Get on that. We're going to take care of that.
Yes.
So from here, now we're going to do the same thing. We're going to basically create a notification hub client. And using Microsoft.ServiceBus.notifications,
so okay.
we create a notification hub client. And from here, we're going to create a notification hub client from a connection string. So we're going to get a connection string that we're going to build in the same way mm-hmm. as before. We are going to have the portal giving you directly the connection string very uh-huh. soon, so you don't have to do this thing anymore. You give the name of the notification hub,
uh-huh.
MyNH.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then let's create our connection string in exactly the same way. So you have service bus connection string builder. And in here, this is under Microsoft.ServiceBus. And here, you have to create it using full access.
Mm-hmm.
So in the portal now, the namespace is my namespace.
Mm-hmm.
But in here, in the portal, you have to get actually the one with full access.
Right.
This is the one that actually allows you to send and to retrieve registrations that are not only yours. and those things.
And in this case, we're building a console app, but this normally you would do on your server.
On your backend.
Wouldn't, because this token you would not want to distribute in an app that goes onto the client.
Of course not, yes. This is basically simulating your backend.
Mm-hmm.
And from here, then what you do, we would just create our message. This is just a new dictionary of string. And what we're going to do, we're going to put in there one property that's called message. That was the property that we have to send. Let's say, hello from cloud cover. Is it all together or is there a space?
There's a space.
There's a space. Great. So now you have your message. You do send template notification. Mm-hmm. Message.
So the key point to note here is that, so this is very simple, and that's awesome. But that one send notification and that message, if we had 10,000, 100,000 subscribers, then it's going to do it. And it's only performing one HTTP post outbound.
Yes.
So
yes.
As far as your backend's concerned, it's very lightweight.
Very lightweight.
It's an app idea right there. Now we need to build an app for cloud cover. The only thing it does is send a notification to everybody when we publish a show.
It's already done. your black blank screen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The app doesn't even need to have anything. All it does is a notification, and then you go. It sends
Let's not mock that scenario. We have very important customers that are just doing that scenario.
Mm.
We're a very important customer.
Well, I don't know.
Do you know that we have 2 repeat viewers every week?
Several people watch this show. Several.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Okay, so now what should happen, running this app,
okay,
let's set this one as my startup project, we should see a toast notification coming up.
Very cool.
Wow.
Very cool. Yep. Also, actually, I did the same thing that I did here with this app.
Mm-hmm.
I did it on an iOS app in here.
Oh, very cool.
And I have that app actually already deployed on this device. That's because for iOS, push notifications only work on the actual device and
so
not on the simulator.
iPod?
This is an iPod Touch. Yep.
That cool.
I got to play with push notifications.
Okay.
And
available for only $3.99. Don't buy them.
And
what is that?
Yes, exactly. The great thing is that the exact same backend that we wrote for sending push notifications to Windows 8, it's already pushing notifications to this app.
Hmm.
So in here, just running my program will create a toast in here.
Oh, there it is.
And a toast on the device.
That's cool.
Very cool. And so your push from the server side, or your backend component here, in this case the console app, was just, you didn't have to change any code there at all.
I didn't have to change any code at all. I just have my iOS app that is saying that it has a template that refers to the message property.
Yep.
And there you go. You do not.
Very cool. I know we're running short on time. The show's sort of been going a while. When it's edited down, it's probably 5 minutes long, though. No, but
we've been recording now for 4 hours.
No, but I think perhaps one last thing you could show us, just briefly, is how someone would implement the tagging feature of this, because I can certainly see that a lot of people will want to use it for that purpose.
Of course. Of course. So basically, inside your app.xaml.cs, when you're creating your registration, you basically have to add tags. So in here, when you're creating your registration, you just add an array of tags.
Mm-hmm.
So you create a new array, and or if you have one already done, and in here you just add how many tags you want.
Okay.
Actually, up to 60.
Okay.
But, it's pretty much how many you want.
Yeah.
And in here, we can have cloud cover.
Right.
We can have other tags too. We can have Nick. If
right.
this is your if this is your device, you can have your user ID put in here. And what this does is that this app will actually registers for all these tags.
Right.
Now, how do you send a message?
So before we jump over, if I wanted, you could also define a separate tag if you wanted to deliver a message, say, for a tile update or something like that.
Yeah,
okay.
So if that is the case, it would just create like a new registration.
Very cool. So how do we send it message to the tag?
To send a message to the tag is from your backend, and here we have the simple console app. Mm-hmm. When you send your notification, you just in here you can provide a body. We do not provide any body, and then you put your tag. Cloud cover.
Cool. That's simple.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Good. Awesome.
Sweet.
Well, thank you for showing us all of that.
Thank you guys for having me here.
Yeah. I have a question. So the next thing people will probably ask is, okay, so extremely simple to use API, deals with all the scale out for us. What's the pricing story during preview, and how much can someone use or consume it today?
During preview, it's going to be free.
Awesome.
So this is great pricing. But it is up to 10,000 registrations. Mm-hmm. So if you only have one registration per device, you're basically going to have up to 10,000 devices.
Yep.
The pricing structure is not final yet, so we cannot really talk about that now.
Right.
It's going to be competitive with the competitors. That's basically something that we can always say.
Okay. So if I'm someone watching today, because and I'm a huge customer, perhaps I know or I already have an application that can use this, and I have 100,000 users, 1 million users, is there any channel which they can register as a tap so they can have more than 10,000?
There is, of course, a way. You can contact me, and I'm handling and managing the tap program for notification hubs.
Okay.
So you can extend the 10,000 even while we are improving for to handle additional load.
Okay,
So you just need to email you?
Yeah, what's your email? You need to do one of these?
One of these.
Yeah.
It's leoda at microsoft.com. Exactly.
And what's your, while we're at it, what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is Elio DiMaggio, which hopefully will appear too. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can reach me on both those channels, and I will make sure that you can use as much as notification hubs as you want.
Very cool.
All right. Well, thank you. That was good. I think a lot of cool demos, and it seems like a very exciting service. I know there's been a lot of interest in the sort of push notifications. It's this mobile thing seems to be kind of popular these days. Maybe not going well.
So for a lot of the
I thought it was a fad, but
for a lot of the developers out there, basically you can implement this in an hour, and then spend a week or two sitting at your computer, and then tell your manager that, hey, I've finally finished this completely massively scalable solution for our push notifications.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Enjoy that time that Elio has brought you.
Cool. Well, this was thanks for being our 100th guest.
Yes.
Or actually not our 100th guest.
But on our 100th episode. Yeah.
So do you have any, wrap it up with something exciting about the history of cloud cover. Maybe let's have Bob do a montage of, since this episode hasn't been long enough, should we have Bob do a nice montage of various maybe Wade and Steve and Ryan bloopers or funny
leave it
moments.
To Bob. Let's see how he feels.
All right. Yeah, Bob's quite a bit funnier than we are. So.
Yes.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
All right.
Well. All right. And with that, I think that's the show. So thank you for watching, and thanks for coming, Elio.
Thank you, guys.
I know how to do it. I thought I could do your job, but I couldn't. We should do a 3D cloud cover.
Oh, what are you doing?
You know how Bob is.
You should actually watch the show once in a while, Steve. Bob does a really good job.
I don't know. I hear it's not that good of a show. You have to be in the Windows Azure world to really watch it, I think. Good. See, that's why I don't watch it, because I hear it's totally incomprehensible.
This is why we don't touch that equipment, Steve.
Oh, wow. The reboot worked. Okay.
All right. I have 28 minutes before my battery dies, so let's go.
I've never used this thing. Oh, that's good. That means it's not going to fail.
How do you? Why is this taking so long?
But that's a pretty good thing to say. You can't say action while I'm still like, I'm... yes, yes. That's a tip. It's a good tip. Yes, yes. Look
that's
at that.
Cool.
How does this work, this profiling thing? This is magic. Do you actually know how it works?
I have no idea how it works. Oh, you know what?
The internet's down. Don't we have like a wired connection?
Do we have a wired connection here?
Yes.
It's a great question. I don't
WAS, get keys.
We could just speculate on the show.
We should speculate, but
right.
We got to go action, because otherwise he's going to find someone else to do. We should have Ludacris on the show. I mean, who wouldn't watch that?
I don't even know who that is. So.
You don't know who Katy Perry is.
So we're obviously cutting this part, right?
Yeah.
And then you just bleep it out, and then when he comes back in, you guys are just kind of going... He's clawing himself.
Yes. When we come back, we're going to be like, I can't believe you just did that. Like, Bob, we're going to have to edit out.
Yeah.
People will be like, what did he do? What did he do? I'll be like, dude, that's illegal.
No, do not do that. Don't take it that far, please.
No, we'll just come back. You know what we should do? We should actually...
No, please...
Best show ever. Best show ever.